YouTube Kids is anything but child-friendly. The platform is a minefield of suggestive videos and slimy content farms. It's been exposing children to unmoderated filth for years, with growing fears that it could be changing our children's brains permanently. So why hasn't anything changed? How did YouTube Kids get this awful? And is there anything we can do to protect children from its influence? You see, ever since ElsaGate, YouTube Kids hasn't been able to shake its shady reputation. It isn't hard to understand why. The platform was a cruel joke. Something which Google had released to safeguard children had exactly the opposite effect. Instead of protecting young viewers, it put them all in one place for people to take advantage of. The channels and the videos spreading this content has been building for 2 years before people finally started taking notice. Channels like Toys in Japan, Superhero Freak Family, and Kid Toy Media were pumping out videos every day on the platform. But one quick look would tell you why they were anything but kid-friendly. There were a few genres. Channels like Toys in Japan specialized in churning out countless crude animations, often accompanied by some crackly recording of a nursery rhyme. As the song droned on, various characters would make an appearance and float around the screen or dance on a zoomed-in hand. There were loud sound effects and bright flashes everywhere to keep the little ones from getting bored. The characters involved could be anyone, from superheroes and Disney princesses all the way to historical dictators. But ultimately, the specific characters and content for these channels didn't really matter. Instead, it was all about keeping the videos rhythmic, colorful, and repetitive. Unnoticed by most viewers, these videos picked up thousands or even millions of views from children. And you can imagine how this would happen. A parent would leave their kid in front of their iPad with a kid's video playing, something they chose and what they thought was appropriate. Once it ended, autoplay would play a slightly similar video, then another. Eventually, the kid's just sitting there watching Hitler v Mickey Mouse Finger Family or Five Little Shrek jumping on the bed. How did this happen? YouTube Kids is supposed to be extremely filtered down, with ensured safety for children. Well, everything about these videos was designed to game the algorithm. They'd fill the description and even the title with as many buzzwords as possible. The tags would all be things that kids might search for. The thumbnails would be full of bright colors and recognizable faces. All of this wasn't just to get kids to click on them, though. It was to convince YouTube's video selection process that it was a great kids video, totally related to whatever a kid might be watching. And the fact that they were often chosen by autoplay helped as well. If a kid was happily just watching whatever YouTube gave them, then they're far more likely to just let it play till the end. And YouTube's algorithm would see this trend and assume the crude cartoon was an amazing video that kids would often watch to the end. And with tons of channels uploading these every day, they only needed a few of them to stick. Then once they were on one of these videos, they were far more likely to get recommended to watch another one. It's a theory that explains lots of weird quirks of these videos, as often these videos would have huge view counts, but only a small amount of comments. Comments that were either random letters and gibberish or unconnected words. Some people suggested it might be some sort of hidden code or message. It was far more likely, though, that this was just the product of kids mashing the screen and posting suggested words or random keystrokes. Something that would happen with a 3-year-old messing around with mummy's iPad. That, or they were another ploy to trick the algorithm. A few bot accounts posting gibberish would make the video seem like they were getting more engagement, pushing them further up in the algorithm. These were all the techniques that channels like Toys in Japan used, but why was it called ElsaGate in the first place? But before we continue, I want to tell you about something that's made a huge difference in my writing. Like many of you who work, I'm constantly juggling emails and writing for the channel, but this isn't always easy. However, this is where Grammarly comes in. It's not just for those who write a lot, who have important writing to do. It's for anyone who wants to make a greater impact with their everyday communication. Grammarly is this incredible AI writing partner that helps everyone write better and faster. When I use Grammarly, my writing is so much clearer and more compelling. It's great for writing quick emails or even writing these scripts. It's like having an expert editor right there with you, making your points so much more compelling. But it's not just that. Grammarly's AI speeds up the writing process significantly. Whether it's drafting up a quick email or crafting the sentences in these scripts, it saves me so much time. And in fact, professionals actually spend about 88% of their work week communicating, and written communication is a huge part of this. But Grammarly has been refining their communication AI for 14 years and is trusted by tens of millions of professionals. In fact, 96% of Grammarly users report more impactful writing by using it. Not to mention they also respect your privacy at the same time. Grammarly does not sell your data to any third parties to train their AI models, and we as users have full control over our data, so much so that you can actually request a personal data report at any time to see what's associated with your account. And the best part is, Grammarly is free to use. All the features I've shown you are available in the free version, and you can sign up today and download it for free using my link, grammarly.com/moon. Well, as well as the dancing dictators and the poorly recorded nursery rhymes, there was also a different kind of video. Some channels use all the same tricks that we just talked about, but they made live action content instead. And at first, it could seem kind of innocent. Just people dressed up like Spider-Man, Batman, or Elsa making funny faces and doing weird stuff on camera. There wasn't really any dialogue or story, just loud noises and bad acting. But it was the content that was the problem. It would have been so easy for these channels to have their poorly costumed actors get into child-friendly situations. Instead, they seemed like they were getting out of their way to make them do the most disturbing things possible. One video showed the Joker kidnapping Elsa and throwing her in the trunk of a car. Another showed Spider-Man getting pregnant. The worst, though, were the videos that were clearly inspired by fetish content, where they showcased fake portrayals of the characters ingesting bodily fluids or performing medical procedures on each other. Some of the scenes even bordered on snuff content. It was all truly disturbing. It was as offensive and provocative as possible, all set in a kid-friendly coating of overacting, colours, and exaggerated expressions. Toddlers and children who didn't understand it would be taught that this was normal, or if they were old enough to at least understand it, it could make them watch more videos and learn about these things far too early on in their lives. And as traumatic as it might prove for the kids in the audience, they were at least better off than some of the kids starring in the videos, as awfully, lots of these videos had real children in costume playing along with the scenarios. One of the most prolific channels posting this content was called Webs and Tiaras. Even a full year before the scandal really took off, they had amassed over a billion views on these sorts of videos. In May of 2016, Webs and Tiaras was the third most watched channel on the entire site. The strange thing was, though, that despite these crazy stats, barely anyone had heard of it. Other than one prophetic news article, people were barely paying attention. It called into question how real the views really were. How could millions of kids be watching this without anyone noticing for years? Either Webs and Tiaras and channels like them were using bot accounts and spoofing massive view counts, or the millions of iPad kids watching were even more neglected than we thought they were. But once internet commentators and mainstream media started taking notice, it did seem like this was all gonna be over, as YouTube cracked down and started banning ElsaGate channels by the hundreds, if not thousands. Some of the channels even faced criminal proceedings. One channel called Toy Freaks, ran by a single father and his two children, was investigated by the US authorities for child abuse. But despite the kids clearly suffering and hating every minute of it, the authorities didn't go any further. Instead, the dad was free to line his own pockets and keep all the money that his 8.5 million subscribers had made for him. YouTube then spent a year cleaning up their kids app, slowly banning and removing more of these channels and videos as time went on. And honestly, that's where the story should have ended. In fact, these channels should never have been so big in the first place. But the underlying problem still existed. The YouTube algorithm hasn't really changed. It still rewards exactly the same things that made the disturbing ElsaGate videos so popular. Lots of the content remained floating around the site, popping up in recommended feeds. But by the time 2020 rolled around, the whole situation was ready to play out all over again. The pandemic had forced the world's children out of school and inside, while most of their parents were still working. It meant that there were a ton of more unattended children, with YouTube Kids serving as the surrogate parent. For slimy content farms looking to exploit children for a quick buck, it was an opportunity. They suddenly had a new massive audience of children, and YouTube was busy dealing with the influx of new users. But this time was different. The techniques had evolved and the content had changed. Similar live action videos to the ElsaGate scandal started popping up again. But whilst they're still around, the live action content farms have taken a backseat to new formats that are far quicker and easier to make. The characters that these channels are using have also changed. Instead of Elsa and Spider-Man, they've switched to other faces the kids are more likely to be interested in. Playtime Poppy is everywhere as well, having mostly taken over the Five Nights at Freddy's role of kids' horror mascot. Ultimately though, the actual characters don't really matter. As we've seen previously, and as we're gonna see today, you can use stick figures and it wouldn't make a difference. The actual traits and everything about the characters doesn't factor into the videos, they're just featured to get the kids to watch in the first place. Let's take a look at one of the new specialists in mass-produced kids' content, a channel called Fasttoon. Instead of live action, they've made nearly 500 versions of pretty much the same cartoon, with all the ElsaGate features that you'd expect. The thumbnails are often based around farting, pregnancy, Among Us crewmates with big butts, or whatever they think might catch the interest of young children. Now, the actual videos are tamer than some of the earlier ElsaGate content, but not by much. It's still the same mind-numbing empty garbage. The editing is so fast that they don't even have time to finish the soundboard noises they throw in every second. And with over 1.6 million subscribers and over 800 million views, they're raking it in. Despite how much YouTube censors everyone else or tries to push these channels out of the eyes of the media, it's always been a problem ever since 2016. And while the content will change and the actual channels themselves will change as well, the underlying problems are still there. YouTube's algorithm isn't just exploitable, it rewards the disturbing stuff that these channels pump out. It's a tragedy that the thumbnails you're seeing now and the videos that accompany them are what's breaking the innocence of potentially millions of children around the world. They're being prematurely introduced into an adult world that they don't understand and that could have serious serious detrimental effects on their development. Kids watching these channels will see these disturbing things, but it will be accompanied by everything they find entertaining and exciting as well. They like Among Us, they like loud sound effects and energetic pacing, and that gets wrapped up in things they don't understand, but will still find fascinating in some way. They must do, or these channels wouldn't bother adding it in. For them, it's just another tool in their kit, a means of an end to get children's attention, which is really creepy. And we don't really know how children develop their tastes as they grow older, at least not enough to predict the outcome of this. It's a branch of science that's obviously got massive ethical boundaries that shouldn't be crossed. But what are the generation of iPad kids going to be like in the future, when they're being brought up by these people on their screens? The worst among us are raising our children. And the fact that kids have been bombarded with this content every time they open up YouTube is an awful global experiment. A dystopian experiment that we don't know what will do to our children's brains. YouTube can block out as many comment sections in old videos and movie clips as it wants, though its poor moderation and automated detection system are clearly lacking. As YouTube is letting these channels slip under the radar, letting these channels bundle up adult themes and content with everything else, and as AI progresses and these channels can automate more and more of the workload, it'll only get worse. They'll be able to crank out awful animations every single day, flooding YouTube with them even more than they already are, and the barrier for entry will get lower, and even more people will be able to set one of these channels up. One of YouTube's failed solutions is their side app that the kids are meant to stay on, but most kids don't watch YouTube Kids, they just watch YouTube, and sooner or later they'll graduate to the main app and see this all for themselves. One difference now though is that they'll be far more likely to go into YouTube Shorts than watch longer videos, and inevitably wherever the kids go, these channels will follow them. Some of the channels that specialize in these shorts show us exactly why we need to be careful here. Finil from Ohio is a strange channel that almost exclusively uploaded shorts clearly intended for children. And the formula is pretty simple. Footage of a mobile game on the bottom of the screen plays, while the sound effects and pictures at the top react to what's happening. It's not the adult nature of the content itself that's disturbing, although some of that is still present. The thumbnails are full of recognizable faces and cartoon sexualized imagery to grab kids' attention. But at this point, this is just normal, unfortunately. Instead, it's the way it's packaged that's harmful. Constant sound effects, tonal shifts, and at least three things to focus on at all times makes this the most brain-rotting content out there, destroying our attention spans. And just 90 of these videos have been so addictive and powerful that it's already given the channel nearly 1.5 million subscribers. It's hard to tell whether the content is AI generated or not, but even if it isn't now, it will be soon. And the fact that you can succeed so easily and gain so much from just a few of these videos sets a dangerous precedent. In the same way that conditioning kids to enjoy adult content is extremely harmful, as it conditions them to ruin their minds, fry their dopamine, and gives them a dangerous mindset. It's the equivalent of a bag of sweets compared to a full meal. If you give most kids a choice, they'll just keep eating the sweets, and eventually a real meal will just taste bitter. And you can only imagine the effects on their attention spans from this kind of content. There's tons of it available, which means that there's always more to choose from and watch. Every 30-second Skibidi toilet video is yet another fleeting dose of dopamine. It creates the same addictive process that you've experienced if you've ever spent 30 minutes just watching shorts, rotting your mind, staring there like an idiot, wasting your life away. Only that younger minds are even less capable of dealing with this. But this is just the tip of the iceberg for YouTube Kids, and we're going to see far more examples in the future. And in a way, they're only symptomatic of a much larger problem at hand. Have you ever noticed that barely any kids actually play outside anymore? Or that parents just let their kids run wild when they do actually go out in public? Millions of parents today are unwilling to hand down discipline or really give their kids a shot at actual happiness. Instead, they fold instantly at the earliest sign of a tantrum, parking their kids in front of an iPad so that they'll get some peace and quiet, absorbing them into the world of YouTube and TikTok. And whilst this is a quick and easy solution to noisy children, it has terrible consequences in the long term. Children need nurturing, structure, and time with their friends while they're growing up. It's how they understand the world and are able to deal with other people. If they don't get this and they spend all their time on YouTube, then they won't ever learn the skills they need to have a fulfilling life. They won't learn restraint, and that sometimes you need to be patient if every time they cry, they're given the iPad. They're never going to learn how to talk to other kids properly, and they'll be unable to really have empathy if all their interactions come from tapping a touchscreen. Instead, YouTube and the other platforms that parents are using are teaching their kids how to be addicts. Some of their earliest experiences are getting dopamine hits from clicking on a new video, then feeling it quickly fade away until they click on another one. It's trapping them in a vicious cycle. If they can't shake this behavior when they grow up, it'll be that much easier for them to fall into other addictions when they're older. Even for the kids that do have good parents, it's making the world around them that much worse. You can only imagine what Generation Alpha is going to look like. I mean, kids who do grow up without all of these problems, kids who aren't iPad kids, will never understand why most of their peers can barely hold a conversation or throw a tantrum at the slightest inconvenience. They'll feel alienated because they're different. In fact, a recent survey found that a third of kids in the US and UK want to be YouTubers when they grow up. This harsh, chaotic online landscape is their entire world now. Never mind how harmful the actual Elstergate videos are, the fact that so many kids everywhere around the world are being parented by YouTube is a real tragedy, and Elstergate just shows how bad of a surrogate parents YouTube really is. These channels, and even YouTube in general, is profiting from a society-wide wave of absentee parents and neglected kids. They've created a platform that encourages the evolution of ever more distracting and effective content aimed squarely at children, a never-ending arms race of channels competing for their attention. Because of poor moderation, pretty much every trick in the book is allowed, and it's systematically stunting kids across the world. But YouTube doesn't care, in fact they're actively profiting from it. As recently as 2023, YouTube has been accused of not only running targeted adverts on kids' content when they promised they wouldn't, but they've also been accused of trafficking and collecting data from these kids in order to target the ads. Children's safety groups, as well as an advertising firm, have published evidence as well as shown how they did it through Google services themselves. Google, of course, denied the allegations, but if they're found to be lying, there could be a massive fine on the horizon. Still, these tech companies seem to get fined almost every day, and it rarely makes a dent on their profit lines. As with everything, we'll need to see the harsh consequences of YouTube's attention-sucking machine before anything actually happens, and we can't expect them to ever actually change. The real solution lies with parents themselves. It lies in an economy that doesn't drain the parents, that doesn't make them so exhausted at the end of the day that they always just give their children the iPad to ignore them. It lies in the older generation seeing what YouTube and the internet are doing to children and making a stand before Generation Alpha grows up. But before that point, we'll see millions of kids fall victim to YouTube's predatory channels.